In today's episode, I want to lift up some basic and foundational principles about how we approach this book, the Bible. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, senior pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. Last week's episode was Understanding the Word of God. I think I'm remembering that correctly. Is that what we called it? Understanding the Word of God. And as we discussed, that meant talking really about Jesus as the Word of God, not about the Bible, which is, let's call it, words about the Word of God. So as a follow-up to that, I want to do a short discussion of the Bible, and I want to just give us three, let's call them fundamental, basic principles that I hope help you approach the Bible in terms of how you read it, how you interpret it, how you think about it, how you use it in your prayer life, and so forth. Okay, as I say many times in my sermons, this is not exhaustive, right? We could talk about interpreting the Bible for a very long time over many, many episodes. So this is sort of, again, three principles that I think are a good starting point for that conversation, all right? So first point I will make today is that the Bible is not a book, but instead is a collection of books. The name, the Bible, actually comes from the Greek ta biblia, which simply means the books, plural. This is really important to remember. The books of the Bible were written over, 2,000 or 3,000 years by different authors in different contexts and different places. They represent, this is really important, all kinds of different types of genres of literature, everything from poetry to history to lament to praise to, there's a book that you could argue is sort of a comic book in the Bible, to gospels, to epistles, to a type of literature called apocalyptic. And all of those require sort of understanding, if nothing else, their genesis, where they come from, and so forth. So, again, the Bible is not a book, but is a collection of books. On the Protestant side of the fence, by the way, we have 66 books in the Bible, in the canonical books of the Bible. Canon means rule, so it's the rule that's set up how many books are in the Bible in the ancient world. On the Catholic side of the fence, there are 73. Both Catholics and Protestants have 27 books in the New Testament. Catholics have a few more in the Old Testament, 46 to our 39. We can maybe talk about why that is another time. It's not particularly important to this conversation, other than, again, to reinforce the Bible is a collection of books, not a single book. Okay, so that's the first point. Second point, you're familiar with topographical maps, I think that's what they're called, that show sort of the terrain. Hikers use them, you know, you get a sense of how high a mountain is versus how low a valley is. It's not a bad idea to think about the Bible as a series of books that also has topographical terrain. What I mean by that is not every chapter, not every verse, not even every book is as important as other books in the Bible. Some books are sort of, or chapters are sort of, let's call them mountaintop books. Other books are sort of more in the valleys. And the principle is you interpret the books in the valleys by the books that are in the mountaintops and not the other way around. And so it's helpful and important simply to make that distinction in your own mind and recognize, again, that it's not flat. Not every verse is equal to every other verse. And if you say to me, well, Tim, give me an example. What would some high points of the Bible be? And here I'll turn to our old friend Frederick Buechner. This is from his book, Wishful Thinking, in an entry, by the way, called The Bible, which is one of the longest entries. Most of these entries are less than a page long. The entry on the Bible is multiple pages. But he makes this point, actually. He says, concentrate on what he calls the high points at first. There's much to reward you in the valleys, too, but at the outset, keep to the upper elevations. Again, using this image of a topographical map. And then he says there are quite a few, so I'll list just the ones that he mentions as these sort of representative high points. He talks about, for example, the Joseph stories in Genesis chapters 39 to 50, or the book of Job, one of the most amazing books about human suffering ever written, or the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7, or the seventh chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, which, as Buechner says, states as lucidly as it has ever been stated the basic moral dilemma of humankind, and then leads into the eighth chapter, which contains the classic expression of Christianity's basic hope. I would include to those, of course, John 3:16, which Luther called kind of the summary of the gospel. So again, those mountaintop verses, passages, chapters are what we use to interpret other chapters, not the other way around, okay? Final point, which is simply to say, can you read the Bible alone? Of course. Can it provide you comfort and direction and guidance and wisdom? If you read it alone, of course. I don't want to suggest it can't. However, the Bible, parts of the Bible, certainly many parts of the Bible, are complicated and difficult to understand. Again, they come from other cultures, from other times that are not our own. And so this third and final principle I'll lift up today is that fundamentally we read the Bible in community so that we can make sure that our personal idiosyncratic reading of the Bible, let's say, doesn't stray from the great tradition of the faith that we share, right? And so reading the Bible in community means both reading it with, let's call it a congregation, a church, a faith community of people who are in your life today, but it also means reading it in collaboration with people who've gone before us over the last, for those of us who are Christians, over the last 2,000 years. I use people like that all the time in these episodes, favorite authors of mine, and those are important to me because they help me to understand what is it that we mean by whatever passage it might be in the Bible. And so I'm going to conclude, actually, on that point with, I made a joke about this in my sermon last week, one of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis. This is from a book, I don't think we've talked about this, it's Reflections on the Psalms. And this is in a little chapter appropriately called Scripture. It's towards the end of the book. And here he's talking about sort of how the Bible came to be, the various authors who wrote it, the redactors, the editors, the types of literature I mentioned in the first point, how it's not a book, but books, plural. And so he's talking about all of that. And then he says these few sentences, which, as you will hear, include a very strong reminder to read the Bible in community with other faithful Christians to fully understand sometimes the inscrutable message of the Bible. So here's what he says. The human qualities of the raw materials he's talking about in the books of the Bible show through naivete, error, contradiction, even wickedness are not removed. Which, by the way, is one of the reasons I think we can trust the Bible. It is not, the editors, the writers are not trying to paint a picture of perfection of either ourselves or even of the God that we worship. And so there's an honesty in the Bible. Anyway, back to C.S. Lewis. The total result is not the Word of God, he has that in quotes, in the sense that every passage in itself gives impeccable science or history. It carries, he says, the Word of God, capital W, capital G. And we, and then this is this important phrase, under grace, with attention to tradition and to interpreters wiser than ourselves, and with the use of such intelligence and learning as we may have, receive that word from it, from the Bible, not by using it as an encyclopedia or an encyclical, but by steeping ourselves in its tone or temper, and so learning its overall message. I feel like that returns us back to the point I made in last week's episode, which is that through the Bible, we hope we get to know not just a subject, but rather a person. We get to understand the individual, the personality, the characteristics of Jesus, so that in our own lives we might be more conformed to who he is. So I hope that's helpful. I would love to know if there are principles or tools that you use in your reading of the Bible that you have found helpful. If there are, please comment below. I'm sure others will find them helpful as well. As always, thanks for spending some time with me. And until next time, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.